Yo, yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Kollerbach. With me, my main man, Anthony Guarino.
Yeah, more like highway, more like highway robbery.
Because I'm wasting your time. You're on the highway on a road trip. You want some tunes? We're just going to rob, fucking vampirize all your time right now.
Well, be careful. Pull over, Eric. Don't drive too fast.
Oh, metaphors ablaze. So I'm in town for, you know, New York City. We just had an improv show.
Yeah, biggest apple in the world.
Yeah, that we this underground thing. It was so crazy. Like, we went in a basement. We were in a sub-basement. Then we went down a ladder. Then we went to... And then there was a theater in there, you know?
And we had to swim across, like, a tepid puddle of water, doggy style. If you didn't do it doggy style, you'd have to start back at the beginning.
Doggy paddle. Yeah, everyone has to be fucking the person in front as they're, as you're swimming over this
doggy pond. Doggy style swimming. You just have to, like, insert yourself. Get on the bottom of the surf, the water, and just kind of, like...
Yeah, just bump your way through. We also were at... There's a lot of things to do in New York. We were at a Turkish bath in Alphabet City, you know?
The preferred time is to schwitz.
And we got our schwitz on.
And we also dropped... Maybe set the record for most schwitz puns dropped in a two-hour sitting.
Yeah. We were...
Dances with schwitzes.
Schwitzler's list.
Schwitzler's list. To schwitz and schwitz not.
You know, they were just having a big old schwitz and someone turned it up too high. That's what happened during the Holocaust.
Something like a schwitz.
So I also got the plotka, which means that they have soak branches in soapy water and then they start smashing your back with it. Kind of like a massage, only more of like you're getting hit with a branch.
Plotka doesn't sound like it's not an appealing term. It sounds like a blumpkin. Plotka's a Russian blumpkin with reeds.
So you're getting a blowjob while taking a shit and someone's hitting your body with it.
Yeah.
Reeds all over. Hey.
In a former Eastern Bloc country.
When communism falls, that's a number 46 on the menu, you know what I'm saying? A plotka plumpkin.
That was like one of the main reasons why communism like didn't work out in the former Soviet Republic. It was like government corruption, like not, you know, like
yeah,
non-dissemination of knowledge, and then just like rap, like just running rampant with plumpkins.
Yeah, that's when the walls fall down, the Iron Curtain goes up, whatever bad happens, there's breadlines because of it.
When
you know?
Brezhnev started plotking himself.
Yeah. And then it's like, we don't even know what to base the currency on anymore. You know what I mean? Because we based it on him getting plotka, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the currency was based on plotkas per hour.
to the emperor of the country in question. So, hey, we're also working on a web series called Here Comes Godot right now that will be out in February. And, you know, you want to talk about that at all? It's coming together as a web series, you know?
Yeah, we filmed it like... in the dog days of 2010, which was, you know, like one of the classic times in American history.
Yeah.
It's 2010, just like right in the middle of so much, like, you know, people, free love and everything. And like, you know, people are experimenting with drugs and sex. And
I think that really comes through in
technology.
The yeah. There's a lot of bigger themes.
Yeah. It's kind of a landscape of the period, you know.
It seems like it's just about actors kind of like struggling in New York, but you know, if you that really, if you look at the geopolitics of the time, you look at timelines, you cross-reference Herman Melville's complete works, put the dots together.
There's a lot of cherries to pick in there, you know?
Yeah. If you go Easter egg hunting, you're gonna...
Depends how big your Sunday is, because if you pick all these cherries in this thing, then you can just, your Sunday is pretty much all cherries. For it to the point where it's weighing down the whipped cream onto the ice cream, and you're like,
someone's maraschino like, oh, kind of sauce at the bottom of it, and you're like, is this even a Sunday anymore?
Is that a fruit cup? Where you're in like
metaphor inside.
The way we described it was, well, the way people told us not to describe it this way because it's like a negative pitch, but we would describe it as like the opposite of Entourage. Like if Entourage is about like like baller actors making it, doing film in LA, it's about like. Like
the lowest of the low possible actor
in New York doing like shitty avant-garde theater.
Yeah, off Broadway, not getting paid much, semi-homeless most of the time, struggling. So Here Comes Godot, check that out. You know, Godot is kind of autobiographical because that's what you're doing. You're always hustling as an actor, going on auditions. You know,
that's true.
What's that like for people in the Kansas City Springs and the Illinois Central Obispo, you know, for people who aren't acting, you know.
I think like a good metaphor would be like or a good analogous thing would be like a hunting a caribou. When you go back and you cut out the part where you said something right after I said it, and just leave it just caribou, and just cut to the next bit.
You know, I'll when you I'll go back and edit, I'll cut my podcast how I want. You know what I mean? Like, I take outside direction.
When you go to the edit, though, maybe you just cut it right after I say caribou, right after that, in the next bit.
Whenever I start talking, just cut that.
Just cut it right through. Can you see it? Can you see the WAV files? Can you just snip it right at the front? And just nip it in the bud?
You're not going to hear this because I'm going to cut it as soon as I start talking.
Starting, like, I'm saying something, you're...
That's not in it. That's not in it. You know what I mean? This is a monologue. Hey, you want to talk about some news stories?
Yes.
So this caught my eye. A 67-year-old man was arrested in Total Wine Store after attaching cameras to his shoes to take upskirt pictures, you know? I guess people would, if some girl was like looking at wine and then he would just kind of put his shoe under the, and then a flash would go off, like it was like two Polaroids attached to his feet and he had strings in his pockets. He just pulled it and that's it, like spit out this like unrendered photograph. And
it looks like he's like fondling himself, but he's actually just shaking the Polaroids so they dry faster just out of his pockets.
He's just leaving photos as he's walking. But
Wine Store is an interesting place to like.
Yeah. That's where a 67-year-old man's going to spend a lot of his time.
Well, he was 67. That makes sense.
Yeah. I love that. Like, what kind of old man do you think you're going to turn out to be, Bruno?
I like to think that I'll have a porch, you know, and a wheel. It doesn't seem like it's getting the plan yet, but maybe there'll be a porch.
Front porch?
It doesn't have to be attached to a house. I'm not greedy. I'm not, you know, just a porch. Just a freestanding porch.
Right.
I'm just whittling. Maybe I built a porch.
What if the porch is just already in the town center?
Pre-existing porch? P-O-P? P-E-P?
B-Y-O-P.
Are you down with P-E-P?
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me. You're familiar with what I like.
According to police, man said he saw Grice put his shoe, which had a camera attached to it, under his girlfriend's skirt while shot. So he did it to his girlfriend, apparently.
Oh, why was that? Why was that newsworthy?
Well, they busted him, you know?
And she's like, "No, it's cool. It's my 67-year-old boyfriend."
How old is she, too? Is she, if someone wants the upskirt photo of a 55-year-old woman, I mean, let them. What are they gonna? I mean, you know what I mean?
Just get like a close up of like white granny panties and like a little bit of thigh fat.
Holy shit!
Yeah, that's quite a niche website he's got there. Man leaps to his death in shopping mall after girlfriend insists on more shopping. So in China, a 38-year-old man leaped to his death after an argument with his girlfriend, who said they should continue shopping. You know, and he basically was just screaming, saying he told her she already had enough shoes and that she could wear for a lifetime and it's pointless buying anymore. And then he jumped. This is intense, man. You know, Christmas shopping is a lot of pressure on people, you know? And she was saying that he was cheap. She's already. They were shopping for 5 hours already.
I'm only qualified to say this because I went to the new school for one semester and I took a fringe psychology course. And I can tell you from what I learned that there were maybe other things bothering him also.
What do you mean? So you took a fringe psychology? So describe that, like a paranormal kind of psychology or.
No, it was
the
just
meta psychology behind what is
fringe that? By fringe psychology, I mean on the fringe of psychology, like a creative writing class. But still, it's you know the
right
psychological because obviously it's in your head when you write stuff, so
it comes out. So what do you think is else is going on here in the subtext when you look between the lines of his jump?
Maybe he, in his mind's eye, in that moment, saw himself as a 67-year-old man down the road.
Yeah,
no porch. No porch.
Just leave it like that. Can you cut it right there?
When you started doing the scissor motion, like right there. Can you cut right there?
Yeah.
But how are you going to know? Because was it making... Do you think is this read if you make a scissor motion? I'm making a scissoring motion with my fingers close to the mic. Is this reading?
I don't think so, you know, unless you could hear the small joint.
You want to download it right now and look at it and make sure to see if there's any way for
download it off the chip and then...
Download it.
Upload. So, speaking of...
What's your favorite kind of WAV file?
The WAV?
Yeah. What's your favorite? The big ones or the regular?
When there's a lot of...
yeah.
When there's a whole lot of action in the WAV file itself, like, when you open it up.
Like lots of them or like the big ones?
I'm going to cut it after you just said that. Indianapolis PD, man was swinging his penis at a woman, you know, and he was Tuesday afternoon on charges including public indecency, resisting law enforcement, criminal confinement, and battery. So apparently one woman, 29, told the officer that Harvell approached her on the sidewalk from behind, grabbing her arm. Then he had his penis out, and he was swinging around like a rotary helicopter motion. That is a kind of a classic move, though, you know what I mean? Get it like a tassel going around, you know what I mean?
That implies that he has, like, pretty, like, mobile hip flexors that he can get that motion.
Yeah, and he's got some wang length if, the, you know, he can get the centrifugal motion going.
And he was, like, in a good place where he wasn't totally erect, but he was, like...
He was a little chubbed up.
Slightly engorged, you know?
Yeah.
That's like that's like a perfect storm for helicoptering your penis at somebody. I like to think that he grabbed her and was like, "I have to tell you something like super important. Listen to me.
Hold on a second." Like a cat is swatting at it as it's going around.
60 feet away, a guy was taking pictures with his shoe. And he's like, "Oh, buy me more picture taking shoes." And the guy's like, "I can't, you have enough." Oh, fucking.
I want wine. Merlot. It's the best wino voice.
Merlot.
When did you have for breakfast?
Merlot. Wheaties and Merlot.
Hey, but we were at the Turkish bath, speaking of swinging your penis around, and I had a few things happened. I had the plotka, but then I also had a salt put all over my body. And I, you know, they told you to get naked and just lie in the thing. They smear mud all over you. Then they wash off. Then they smear salt all over you. And, like, you know, there's a guy and he kind of was applying this stuff. And he kind of, like, you know, knocked my dick around amongst lathering me up, you know. It's weird.
Were you at the right, like, level of engorgement to helicopter?
I was trying to, but kind of like I was laying down. But when I had to move from my stomach to my back, you know, I gave him a little twirl around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to show. I tried to flick his forehead.
I was nervous. I was nervous when they said they were going to put salt on you because, like, traditionally, like, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale, but I grew up learning that, like, Eric's, if you put salt on them, they'll turn inside out.
I have heard that. I think those are Eric's with a K, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a C.
I was screaming inside my head. I was, like, so upset. I was, like, heated inside my brain.
Yeah, you have a lot of night terrors. How's that going?
Well, actually, I have had a few night terrors.
Have recently. You?
Yeah.
I know all about this, you know? I'm psychic.
I'm just, sometimes you wake up screaming. Doesn't mean you're not
happy. What kind of dreams are do you remember them?
I don't remember.
You're just like, ah, and you're just grabbing for something tangible. Yeah. Like trying to, like, you know, catch a vine before an alligator eats you or something.
Yeah. I'm like, someone's trying to take my porch away, and I'm like fighting them.
You built this.
Give it back.
Yeah.
They're like, it was already here, it's pre-existing. I'm like, then who?
Pre-existing porch.
You down with PEP?
Yeah, you know me. BYOP.
You're familiar with what I like.
Eastside porches. It'd be so funny if, like, just a bunch of old people had, like, a gang based on them in rocking chairs on their porches.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to bring the fight to them, but, you know, if you do, they're gonna be a force to be reckoned with.
And, like, they pick, like, location and weapon. Like, one guy will be like, Kaldor, department store. And then the guy will be like, all right, messing with each other's medications.
Then they'll just open their Monday to Friday ones and just swap the orange one for the yellow one.
Yeah. Or like, nearby diner that serves early bird special. Okay, Rascal Scooters.
They're playing chicken. They drive head first at each other.
Buffet tongs. You wouldn't be sick if there was them.
Is that the location or the weapon?
That's the name of the gentleman.
Oh. He's a surly bastard.
Tongs, party of two, buffet tongs.
A lot of people are getting into paranormal investigating, ghost hunting shows. You know, and any idiot can really do it with a recorder or a video camera. Mm. The technology is so easy now. So there's seven guys were in connection with a suspected arson at the LeBue Plantation And they all went in there. They're between the ages of 17 and 31. They were looking for ghosts, and they were banging on the floors and stuff like that. And then they started smoking pot, and they fell asleep or something. One of them passed out and burnt the plantation down. So, was it a ghost? Is the question.
You know, unless you could be there and give a positive visual ID for the spooky ghosting question, it's hard to say.
It's hard to kind of get a wrap on them going, you know what I mean?
But that, though, reminds me of a screenplay I'm working on that I've actually whittled down from 3,000 pages to... It's like a pretty tight 560 now. It's
yeah.
Like pretty much all pretty much lean meat at this point. And it's about...
It's like it's a 6.5-hour movie.
Yeah. It's called Ghost Murder. It's about a man who's hired to murder ghosts with extreme prejudice. And he goes from haunted house to spooky villa with, you know, just... you know, a Glock and a machete, and he just murders. He, like, shoots ghosts in the face, like, shoots ghosts in their spooky hearts. He, like, he murders them. With, like, and yeah. It's, to him, it's like hunting big game. You know, the greatest game is ghost, you know, that which is unseeable. And he'll mount their heads like Predator, take off their ghost teeth and stuff, you know, and, like, wear them. Like
mount their heads to the
but
wall.
But then, in the second act out of eight, he is murdered. By accident, in a freak ghost accident. It's like nobody could have happened to anybody, but like,
yeah,
really.
It was kind of like one of those stories you hear where like two kids are playing with a BB gun. They pump it up like past its limit, and then it goes off and through the other kid's brain. You know, it's like what a ghost accident.
Like so sad, but like
who could have ever planned for that ghost accident?
But this specific start, he tries to shoot a ghost who's gotten behind his head. And he accidentally blows his face off.
Right, and he has to shoot through his own ghost head.
But then that's when things really start to get interesting, because now he's a ghost.
How many hours are we in? First 15 minutes?
This is all, like, first 35 minutes.
Okay.
So now he has a skill set, and he's a ghost now. And now he begins to kill people.
So when ghosts die... They go back into the world, but in a different dimension.
No, this is in real life. He's back as a ghost murdering people.
Okay.
But a lot of it takes place on highway on-ramps.
Yeah?
And there's a lot of... It's very erotic in a European way.
That appeals to those markets, you know.
For large chunks of it, Eric. Where there's just a ghost. And it's going to explore kind of the idea of ghosts and people... being together in a non-trad way.
And it's like...
a federal highway.
How can you do that when it's not just the same old story? You know what I mean?
Because
it's just been done before. So it's like, okay, let's bring all those elements together. Yeah. We have the afterlife, the murder spree, the highways, you know, the on-ramps.
It's kind of like a message piece, like, because I wrote the first 106 pages of the outline in 2010. You know, which was a very ripe time for political strife. Just, you know,
even if it's not on the page, it's in there, you know, because that it was that era.
Kind of subconsciously, you know?
Yeah.
But there are a lot of references to the year, so that people get the flavor, you know? Like, the first line is, wow, I can't believe it's 2010 still, you know? It's got to be a hot summer, the summer of 2010. I did my due diligence, you know, because...
You did a lot of research. You got a lot of New York Times from the time period.
I got
back in.
I just like hit a wall sometimes, and I'd be like, I don't know where this is going, and then I'd just kind of write my way out of it, and it just, and I'd go, I'd Google temperature, July 10th, 10 a.m., and I would suddenly like be there, right?
Yeah.
Like in Memphis, in New Orleans.
And it was 67 degrees that day, partly cloudy, you know, you can look all these things up.
I'm there.
Yeah, and then boom. Yeah. Wow. Transported.
Ghosts don't feel temperature, though.
You know what else happened in 2010? Mother-to-be she was pregnant as hell, 9 months pregnant, and she started hitting her bump with a hammer and made a YouTube video about it. Like, hey, my baby's so tough, I can just beat it up with this hammer. And it's, oh, man, it's so hard. It's got rock-hard abs already. It came out, you know, it seems okay, but...
It would have been cooler if she could have grabbed sides of her belly, pulled them out on each side, and glued them together to make them look like little hands, and then got barbells.
Yeah, just to really prove that they could do it.
Yeah.
Do you think you could feel into, you know, discern limbs?
Like, see how ripped your baby is from just looking at
it? Yeah, just give it kind of a course, you can also take an ultrasound and insert barbells into it, and then, you know, in different exercise equipment, surgically, and then when it goes into the, you know, they can work out with it.
Surgically insert, like, a Bowflex into the womb.
Yeah. The thing just comes out, just walks out, looking like Rambo.
It's like rhythmically breathing.
He's just ready for action.
His lats are fucking toned to shit.
What happens when a ghost and another ghost have a ghost baby that has a miscarriage? Where does that go?
It becomes a cat or a dog.
Okay.
Based in the, you know,
the time period.
In the world that I'm writing in. Mm-hmm. Which is, 2010. But
that's your genre.
Yeah. That's my genre. But in the presupposed world that I've created within Ghost Murder.
Yeah.
Barack Obama won the presidential election.
Alright, that's one dot. The next dot is if you look at government cheese that year, it went from 59 cents a pound to boo. You know? Mm-hmm. That's another dot. Put that on it. The stock market was in an uproar that day when they were speculating prices of different things. You know, cheese affects lots of different things.
Yeah, and the value of ghosts was skyrocketing.
Right.
That year, the U.S. Armed Forces changed its policy in Afghanistan from stop loss to...
Yeah. And Barack Obama's, of course, he started the yearly address of the nation... What's that called?
State of the Union.
State of the Union address. And he said, "Whoa!" This is the opening remarks. But people knew, you know, he was speaking of a time period.
And he had a mirror mounted in front of him so that people could see that he had no reflection.
It's a very haunting State of the Union address. Are you very political? You know, there's the NSA is getting shut down because of the unconstitutional things going on over there. It's a rumor I heard.
Obama's shut down?
Talking about maybe shutting it down.
I would be up for it just so if there was an institution that replaced it, it had a cooler name. Like a cool, I love like the, I just, I'm like, call me a geek, but I just like love the acronyms
for the secret society like kind of things.
I'm like an acronymophile, you know? Right, I don't really care about politics or... Like, you know, violation of civil rights. It's just like, it would be cool if there was like some really cool acronyms like put them together, you know? Ones that sometimes could be words too, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be cool. I mean, it's just like, that's me.
It's just kind of like. Cute, you know?
It's
so you thing. Like the FBI, you like the CIA?
I mean, they're like a little like, I mean, they're classics, you know? Like, uh-huh. And I love the logos, you know? But it's like, I wouldn't be upset if they were demolished, like, you know, replaced either with cooler sounding names.
Right.
Or merge them together, like merge part of like the Internal Revenue Service with part of like, you know, immigration fucking, what's that one?
Well, I was just
INS. Thinking. INS and IRS mix them up, so it's like INRS. Or just shake them up, you know? Just to use new letters, you know?
You know, like nothing set in stone, but it's like, you know, just mix them up.
Just be really cool. Just be really cool for me as a, I don't know, it's a geeky, I mean, it's a geeky thing, but I like it.
Weren't you researching acronyms in 2010? It was just kind of like out of that era, you know, there was like, that's when simpler, the fad started.
It was a simpler time, and yeah, like that was like a big, that was hot.
There was a lot of geopolitics going on, but it was like, of the, you know, between the subtext and everything you write, it's like, so it's going to go back there.
That's kind of like the Fertile Crescent of, you know.
Your creative valley?
Yeah.
Where do you keep that?
Deepest recesses of my mind.
Okay.
What if you could ride bats?
I'll cut there before I start talking. Yeah.
Like, and they were cool about it. They weren't dicks. They wouldn't do it.
That would be amazing. Like, you know, there's so many different species. Like, there used to be dinosaurs. There used to be pterodactyls, which were these, you know, gloriously humongous. What if there was just, like, you know... 747 size. Like, look at how big a whale is. What if a whale, you know, something like a whale could fly?
I don't mean a giant.
You would just ride it around.
I don't mean a single giant bat. I'm not an idiot. I mean lots of bats that were cooperating to fly you around.
And they all had a string hanging out from their foot.
Yeah, or like a leash to one master bat. The Rudolph bat. That's what they would call it in the science lab when they were developing it. The Rudolph bat.
They're like manipulating the DNA of... growth hormone in the bat. And
using like shark DNA and Alzheimer's medication.
We've constructed the Muppet Bats.
There's so many movies where Alzheimer's medication makes animals like superhuman, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a real scientific fear. Like, don't give animals Alzheimer's medicine. They'll kill everybody.
But they will become the smartest animals known to man. It's always tough to negotiate business terms. Right. You know what I mean? So I think, do you want to give a little advice to people on, you know, presentation? If you're going to ask money from venture capitalists, you know, you go in there, you slick your hair back, you know, you pour rubbing alcohol on your taint, you curl up and perm your chest hairs.
You make sure the tie clip is perfectly equidistant between your massive double full Windsor knot and the last paisley.
That is all appearance, you know? Yeah. But then there's a vibe, and you can pick a retro vibe if you want, if you can read newspapers of that time period. So you go in with a full history knowledge.
You can go retro.
Then when you step in there, what's going to happen? I'm the venture capitalist. You need money for your bagel shop? Let's talk a little business.
It puts the money in a briefcase. Puts the briefcase under my bed. Let's not blow smoke into each other's dick holes. We know that bagel's the next big thing, fucker. So if you want to be in the schmear business, we could go retro. Hey, cool cat. I'm a hip motherfucker and I'm jive as shit right now. Bagels be fly.
You dig?
Whip it.
Yeah, undo the Windsor knot.
You know. Take your full Windsor knot, which you reveal was actually a clip-on. You take off your slick back
wig. Turn of events, but you already got them.
You take your slick back wig off of your head to reveal an actually full head of hair that has the same amount of product in it.
And it was kind of Velcroed on.
You show that the money clip that you had thrown in his face multiple times was actually all paper underneath a $10 bill. And then you take out a real money clip. It's much more cash than the fake one.
And you take the cameras off your shoes, you know, you put them in a briefcase just so you know that you were watching them the whole time during the whole transaction.
You put them in the Kodak Esquire briefcase, the ultimate business suggestive case for gentlemen.
Yeah. Attaché?
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 I don't know how to say that.
At shock point?
Yeah, so that's how you do
not
it.
Not like one big... Not one large bat, lots of bats. Is that clear?
Try to construct it in a lab by like taking a bunch of bat wing material and reholstering an elephant.
Yeah. There's some bats that have like wings coming out of their faces.
Just start with the elephant base first and just build it from there, which is pieces of scrap animal.
Back in 2010, when people were a little less open-minded and like a little more, you know, stuck in their ways in italics.
That is a apt italic.
People, you know, I don't think a lot of people would think that bats and elephants could be best friends and even go on adventures together, which is why one of the children's books I'm working on right now expressly deals with a normal-sized bat and an oversized elephant becoming...
You're still trying to get the seed money for that book, though.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I got a Kickstarter. Well, I have in my schedule book to do this, set up the Kickstarter, but it's just hard to find the times. But it's... So basically, an elephant's a circus elephant in an African circus that's a lot chiller than, like, you know, Barnum Bear. It's not like, oh, it's not like Dumbo style. It's like, it's a chill circus. And, like, the elephant
is this in the first 5 minutes, the first half hour?
This is, like, a slow exposition through, like, jump cuts for 2 hours.
Okay.
Then the movie gets started, like, for real. There's a small bat in a cave, 110 miles east.
Yeah, no friends. Breezy temperatures.
Yeah. This bat's the runt, I want to say.
Like, put him in a box.
He's the runt.
Because there's a lot of pages to go. Yeah. You know, you gotta...
But he's runt. He's runt-esque.
He's runt-locked.
He's, yeah.
You know, between a...
Runt and a hard spot.
Between a grand achiever and a black sheep, you know.
Yeah, right, you know, middle run. And they meet each other. And they begin what is a torrid love affair.
Yeah. It's not cheesy. It's not cheap.
No, no.
It's real. You know, bat love.
It's what if. And that's the
last. That's the start of the question.
That's the beginning. That's the beginning. It's the first prod.
It's kind of like the it's like the hypothesis of the film.
Yeah. Do you like Steph's?
This is going to be such a 2010 question. I already know where it's going.
Vintage. You know me.
It's got the stank of that time period.
And that tell me if it's like too personal. Like before I even finish, say too personal. Do you like Steph really milk ripe or less milk ripe than the maximum?
Ooh, see, milk when it's just right, you know, it has that milk flavor, you know, at the peak of freshness. But, you know, I like my milk a little tart flavored, you know, so I kind of push the expiration date back a bit. I say, hold on, let's go a couple months there, buddy.
I feel you.
And see how we can ride this out.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. When you're with your buddies, do you like them more milk ripe or yourself less? Or do you like them both?
That is a great question. People leave me on the show all the time with this, you know, and it's like, how milk rep is that guest? How milk rep, you know, and it's like, so many I don't give everyone a grade.
If it's too personal, please.
Yeah, it is really personal, but it's like, you know, there's a litmus test.
Right,
you know,
right.
Everyone has a certain sweat, and you take the pH balance, and you see which one is closest to milk.
Me, I love.
I'm going to cut right there, right before you said that. That was perfect. You know, it's like when the Olympic gold medalist lands it, you know, the coach doesn't run out and push him over. You know, they start clapping and just, you know, let the glory of the perfection ride it. You know, so.
So from one milk rep guy to another. Put my fingers in your mouth. Sorry. If you keep talking, I'll put my fingers in your mouth so you stop talking, because your voice is stupid sometimes and you don't make sense and I don't like it, so. Sorry. But if sometimes you start talking, I'll put my fingers in your mouth to make you stop. Is that cool?
It's just, it'll save me editing time later, so that's fine.
You'll thank me later.
Yeah. So anyway, this next news story.
Oh. It's just really stupid. I don't like it, so I just do that. So. Yeah.
Just to stop you from embarrassment. I'm just going to start inserting my fingers into it.
You don't like it because it's bad in my ears because I don't like it.
Yeah, because it's like...
Sorry.
It's like you're shaking tinfoil right next to my head. It's like, stop.
Bring that. Don't do it.
Are you allergic to cats? Because I always... me and Emily, before I came over here, we got a bunch of like Amazon boxes from Christmas presents and stuff. And then we taped all the Amazon boxes together, and then the cats were loving it. They were, you know, running through all the boxes, like tunnels, like a little fort and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, and they're so adorable, so I always like to pet them, but then I always end up touching my eye inflates, and I have cat eye, you know what I mean? Are you allergic to cats? Did you know?
I'm not. I grew up with cats. I'd actually love to get a cat, but my roommate's allergic to cats.
Mm.
Is that all you did to them? You just like to pet them?
Well, we just put treats at different spots. And then you hear the cat, like, focus.
What kind of spots would you put the treats at?
Huh?
Where would you put the treats?
Like, at the intersections in the box maze.
Is that the only place you put them? Just in the box?
Maybe I put one or two between my toes, you know?
Yeah. That's it? Just between your toes?
Which is then one at my knee.
Yeah. That's how it went?
There's another at my inner thigh. I don't see how this is relevant.
How many pieces of cat food did you put in your eye?
16. I got cat-eyed.
You have the sexual proclivities of an elderly Swedish woman. On submarines on top,
mm-hmm. There
were just big, like, canoe-looking things. So that it would look like when it was just chilling.
When it was submerged, it was just a tiny boat.
A big canoe, yeah.
Yeah.
A little canoe.
Fake out.
And then people who, like, hate canoes, you know, or who, like, real assholes and, like, a little flip. Stupid. You know?
Yeah.
Then they'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Can you imagine their faces? They'd be like, oh.
No, I got this to contend with. Speaking of that, I used to have that RC boat, and we would take it to Central Park, mm-hmm. and we would go around on the ponds with it. I remember this one time.
That was your midlife crisis.
Yeah. I was 21. I was like, you know, I need a boat. I need a red boat. I want to go fast. I want to pilot a boat around. But, you know, there's this one part where you can rent boats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I would kind of terrorize the boats a little bit. I would run circles around them.
Of course.
You know, it's kind of fun. Yeah. And some people loved it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember there was drove by this, like, Korean the whole family, and they all took out cameras. They were taking pictures with it, you know. But I remember one dad was, like, this kind of, like, you could tell he was having like road rage issues, you know, and he was like paddling his boat out. And then when I started, I just was going around his boat, and the kids were like, he had 5-year-old kids, and they were clapping. And then he smacked my boat with the oar, like he was like cutting me off in traffic or whatever. I'm like, yeah, get out of here, you know.
Did he fuck it up?
No, he just flipped it over, and then then the family all yelled at him and made him drive, go back, and then the mom flipped it back over, and I got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people, joyless in life, you know?
Yeah, you follow him home?
Yeah. Yes. I tagged him. I tagged his ear. And I got a trace on him, you know? And then, you know, I marked him for grooming 6 months
you down played, the road. You played, like, explosive strapped to your chest Monopoly?
Yeah. It was his life or the dog's life. But I was playing, too, but I didn't have an explosive attached to me.
Yeah, it wasn't weird. The dog was in a cage.
Yeah. He was barking a lot.
Yeah. No, the dog was in a cage the whole time.
So. Yeah, that was clear. You asked me also to transcribe this podcast because you're starting a new novel. You're starting I don't want to put your book in a box or your project in a box or your writing. But you needed this all transcribed, and this is only the start of something.
Yeah.
That takes on new life.
If this is, you know, what I think it is, which is, you know, some of the more heavy stuff that's been laid down, you know, on audio, then it's going to be the first 7 to 10 tiny pages, talking about the ones that are in Beach Books, of a concept novel I have, mm-hmm. which is called The Egg of Gibraltar. It's about a nebbish Spanish fisher boy and his dad, who has terminal hand cancer, and about them, their life lessons, what they share between each other is nameless and unseen, but later on the fruits that he's reaped,
yeah,
because he picks his own death, the boy does,
yeah, because right. His dad's already terminal, and so then they know that they're both going to be ghosts later.
And that they could be together.
But this is a prequel to a lot of your other work.
This is what I like to call an active will. It's an active quill. You know, it's not. It shouldn't be defined as a pre- or antiquil.
Or a tapestry.
Sequel.
Yeah.
It's part of an
elaborate. You spent a lot of time in Tanzania, where they have different words for their literary movements.
Yeah.
So when you say things like sangwa and gegu, you know, that is a mix of those languages. So we were at the bodega a little while ago. Yeah. A lot of boner pills with Japanese writing on them that are for sale at your local bodega.
Yeah, it's like your classic bodega hot to trot behind the counter section.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's kind of like you got the disposable razors.
A lot of them are powders.
Yeah, like that you snort, or like that you just pack in your lip.
Yeah, it's like dick
slow release.
It's dick dip. You just put in your you pack your snuff. You just pack your urethra and just fucking munch it up with your dick.
Yeah. Just make a putty, and then there's a cotton swab. Yeah. You know,
it's
and
pretty
you just
simple.
Slowly,
you just grind up the coarse rocks with a pestle and mortar.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a simple, you know,
make
one,
that into
two.
A putty with milk ripe. Substance.
And a little coconut milk just for viscosity. Mm-hmm.
Let sit.
Yeah. And then you pour it into your dick with a funnel.
And then you mash up your dick with your hands like you're mad at it and you want to kill it.
Yeah, but you got to kind of like squeeze it down, the urethra.
You reverse milk it into your own body.
Yeah. And then that will get soaked up in your balls. And then 2 days later, let me tell you something, you will have a rager. So plan ahead.
It's good to listen to alt rock while you do it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was doing that. You know when I was doing that? A couple years, maybe like 2010,
You know? Such a good alt-rock year.
Yeah, because it's just the time period, and it's like everyone got the mortars and pestles. Everyone was, you know, funneling this liquid into their dicks, you know, and it was just like, wow, alt-rock, you know? You
can speaking, really... speaking of which, I actually have a great... I didn't tell me if this is too personal to share with you. Like, stop me if it's too personal. Okay. It's like, okay, so you know the band Nickelback, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so and I know this is pretty out there, but it's, you know...
It sounds pretty personal right now.
Sorry, I don't like it. It's kind of fucked up talking about this.
Okay, so Nickelback.
So, because I get just talking about it because it makes me think. It's like one of those things where you're like, when you think of this, an idea like this, you're like, I'm not creating by myself. I'm part of like a bigger tapestry.
Okay. This is a safe place. I know. This is a safe place.
So it would be called Pennyback. Sorry. And all the songs would be regular Nickelback songs, except one fifth is long.
Yeah. Are they sped up in tempo?
Cut down to a fifth of the original version.
Right. Now, when you have to pick what verse gets in, which piece of the which version of the chorus, you know, it's like...
It's probably boring to a layman, but... And it's pretty complicated, but I just take the song, the runtime of the song.
Yeah.
I divide it by five. I take that number and... When I get to that length of time into the song, that's the end of the song.
You know, I'm going to have to cut the interview short if this gets more personal.
I'm sorry. It's just really something that I never thought was going to, you know, happen for me that way. And it did. So I was grateful and I feel weird, you know. I'm just grateful. I feel weird. You know, like a beautiful, like a sunset with a face.
It's like I finally accomplished, you know, my life's journey and... You know, it's penny back, so.
It's great, and then it's like empty, because it's like, what now?
Yeah, what now?
What happens now?
It's like, I took that idea from the ether, from the muse, from the spirit world, and I brought it back with me on a hero's journey. I put it on my back, and I saddled it into the land of the living, into GarageBand, and then I actually cut. I took the total runtime. I made sure that it was the original length.
I feel like I'm kind of in the Denujan of my life. Denujan Wallace.
More like the Arkbook.
And it's like they say, you know, you break the mold, you know? I feel like maybe mine was the Pennyback mold, and now that I made it, it's like...
It almost broke you. When you were working on Pennyback, you really took your physical body to its absolute breaking points, you know? And I don't think a lot of artists have the same kind of bravery, you know?
Sometimes I'd be on GarageBand for so long.
Yeah.
I could actually feel like the tunnels in my wrists start to get really tired.
You have that pad, though, for the mouse.
But still, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. And you were fasting for a lot of it, and you were only having salt water in the morning and then at 2 p.m.
I would take a glass of salt water in the morning,
yeah.
And then I'd literally shit for 6 hours straight and cry.
But it was part of the cleansing, because it's like, what is the next song going to look like? What is the next song going to look like? And so you had to keep reaccessing that original idea, you know, the original concept, and get in touch with it, get in tune with your muse, and so you had to do the sacrament of this shit fast.
And then I don't only drink another, I drink a bucket of cayenne pepper and orange juice, yeah. And then fucking put my head through a plate glass window.
Yeah, just got the edge back, you know? It's like, it's about the rock, you know? I like Nickelback.
I drink cups of hot glass.
Yeah.
Hot glass, I put through a coffee maker and just drink it.
Yeah, because, you know, the road of an artist isn't easy, you know, to make it authentic.
I'd purposely get big blisters on the bottom of my feet, and then I'd peel them off and wear them like eye patches.
It wasn't about seeing the music, you know, it was about hearing it. So I think that sets a good example to a lot of musicians, you know.
I'd duct tape my balls and penis to a Valentine's Day card, and run around knocking on everyone on my floor's door, saying I'm a little princess and all my little friends are girls.
Were you collecting all your
your shits in jars and then saving it up until you had one box worth.
I'd shit into a big baking pans, and then I'd leave them out in the sun to dry, and then I'd mold them into boats and give them Viking funerals in the park.
None of that was recorded, you know?
That was for me.
That was for you to do the work.
I didn't want there to be a lot of bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Except for all the bells and whistles that I ate.
You've had quite a journey, you know, making this album. So I really want to thank you for it. And, you know, it took the 50-minute original album, and now it's down to 10, so it's very quickly digested, you know. So, you know, it's shorter, but it'll move you because there was so much that went into it, you know. Until it's all over. I remember there were two concussed squirrels in the Central Park, and I put one in each of my pockets. I vomited into a bicycle pump. And I collected the vomit in it, and then I would squirt it at pedestrians in a bathrobe and nothing else.
We're paying a priest to watch me wail on teacups with an aluminum baseball bat.
Didn't you also sponsor a horse in the Kentucky Derby with a fake company?
Yeah.
That was so vacuum.
Metromalex.
Metromalex?
Metromalex.
It's a nutritional supplement.
Yeah, yeah.
Geared towards kids who are weightlifting.
It's geared towards mesomorphic embryos who are capable of building extreme muscle mass in their rhomboids and deltoids. It's about just getting picture-perfect form and really, like, learning how to use your body as a machine to hurt things. We already discussed my idea for magazine, Slacks, the magazine.
Slacks monthly or weekly?
Yeah. Slacks. It's just, like, about the non-dungaree lifestyle.
Yeah,
and every like art, like every cover is like a pair of baller slacks, you know. But it's on like a celebrity, but you don't know who it is because you just see the pants.
It's from the
like
pants.
George Clooney,
right?
It's like pleated or unpleated, cuffed or uncuffed. We answer all your questions for the spring season.
Suspenders or belt, hemmed or rolled up. A lot of ways to wear slacks.
You're a corduroy guy.
I like corduroys. They're nice and warm. They're kind of like sneaky sweatpants.
Didn't they used to call you in college the corduroy prince?
Yeah. And I was the corduroy kid for a little bit when it kind of grew on me.
Yeah. The corduroy prince when you're like a little more hoity-toity.
Yeah. And I carried around corduroy samples. Yeah. You know, like a deck of cards.
And you wore a small crown.
Yeah. And I'd be like, hey, pick a sample, you know, and I'd be like, light tan, you know.
And you'd always be disappointed when people chose.
Sure. People had different tastes, you know, than the corduroy kid over here.
Too bad that warehouse in Bergen County burned down.
Yeah, that sounds solved.
You ever think it might be related to something supernatural?
I think some ghost investigators may have been checking out the place, you know?
Yeah. Should have hired a ghost murderer.
And that is just the hypothesis of one of your works, right? Because, what were you doing during the ghost work?
I pretend to be a ghost. I would haunt things, which led to a lot of, you know, unfortunate situations where I would be outed and, you know, I'd be found out by a group of rascally kids and sometimes
yeah, because
pet dogs.
Because you were owning that arcade for a while, and then, you know, the rough people started hanging out too late, and then you started getting into the ghost costume and just trying to scare them away so that they wouldn't graffiti your arcade, you know, and bring the land value down. And then, you know, those rascally kids showed up in that van, right? And they kind of spoiled your plans.
You know those guys?
Yeah.
You start thinking, like, is there a justice system, like, are the right kind of acronyms even in the right order to make this country fulfill, like, the American dream? Like, is my Saddam Hussein erotic fiction novel a mistake?
Is it too soon? Is it too late? Is it not gonna, you know, be in the right time period when it gets released to the public eyes, you know, to all their, you know, perspectives and emotions?
Like the zeitgeist of kind of jumping on the right, you know, it's kind of a lot like boogie boarding in a controlled dome. You know, you have to wait for the right wave and then also check visually and verbally with the guy who's
spotting the dome waves.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's a in California. There's like one of those automatic wave machine things where you boogie board onto it, and 90% of the time, like it would be, you know, all these people from the Midwest or whatever, they would jump on a boogie board and just get immediately shot by like a fire hose to the back of the thing, like tumbling. But that was pretty goddamn fun though. I was able to ride it for like 3 seconds and then I got shot off of it too. It's pretty intense.
It's inside a controlled area?
Well, it's like elevated, like kind of like a half pipe situation that they keep shooting water up.
It'd be cool if you could ride fire, right?
Yeah. Like surf it?
Yeah.
Like with an aluminum foil surfboard?
I'm looking forward to that for like my kids, like for what my kids will enjoy. Like, you know, make human skin flame retardant, and then people can go, you know, swimming in fire pools, like turn, you know, go in lava baths, you know?
These are things that our kids will enjoy, you know? Down the road, because it's like, these are simple things, but that haven't happened yet.
Yeah.
You know, that they're going to enjoy too.
And the science is there. It's just a matter of somebody like being like,
okay, we're going to surf fire this year. Yeah. You know? We're going to get it done.
Now we do it. Now is when it happens. Because if I learned anything from, you know, the penny bag thing, it's like you have to do things that you want to happen. Otherwise, they won't. You do the things that you want to happen. Otherwise, they won't happen. I mean,
the way you need them to happen. Yeah. You know?
Unless they do happen, but probably not as good a chance as if you take action to make them happen.
That's just the start of your saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's something that grows on you. It's something that you kind of keep reading,
It takes a while to really get there, but it's like, if you'd like something to happen, you should try to make that thing happen, or else it might not happen, but it still might happen, but maybe not with as great a probability of happening.
If you make it.
Had you done it? Had you?
See, I'm not quite getting the whole concept. You know, it's like, that seems like the start of the advice. Yeah,
it's like a little too brief.
Yeah. It's like, who's getting the advice in that scenario?
You're right.
You know what I mean? That's what's wrong with it. And it's like, is the narrator reliable?
What if I told you that the narrator was Saddam Hussein?
It would start to make sense. See, that's another bullet point. You know, that if you have a map of this conversation on your wall, that is something that you put a thumbtack in. And that is something that you take a string from the last bullet point and connect the dot. Okay? Because if you look at the full tapestry of, you know, the conversation that we've had here today that I think has been very important, very personal, really too personal at a lot of parts.
A lot of times too personal.
But
and that mean two with the number two. Too personal.
Okay, I'm going to cut that.
Okay.
So then if you take that piece of string and then go over here.
Portrait reiterate is definitely tapestry and not like a crazy person map of call strings.
Oh my god, I forgot to say that. You're in a couple improv teams. And the names of them...
I just do one improv team with the group Mercury.
Mercury. And if you... They're moving into the better theater, I hear. So right now, it's in the theater that you got to swim across the moat, go down the stairs, go through a door. But now, we're taking over the... Mercury's taking over the main theater.
It's moving from a shitbox to an actual, like, hobble.
So, how can people find those shows? You gotta kind of be in the know.
Just don't.
Don't worry about it. The theater.
Oh, yeah. It's on, it's called The Secret Theater. It's in Long Island City. Just Google it.
The Secret Theater, Long Island City. Anthony Guarino. Ripping it up with Mercury.
Here we have Natalia Berlin has joined us.
Bonjour.
How's it going? Just hanging around? Just happen to be in town?
I just happen to be here tonight.
You just happen to live here? At the place that I've crashed? Cool. So, yeah, I wonder how many chicken that you get in the supermarket are suicides, you know? You don't really know how they died. That's not on the packaging. You know, it's like, was it a crime of passion?
In the future, it might be, though. They might
yeah,
not.
That's a simple joy that our kids
Method
are.
Of death.
Yeah.
That they'll be able to just read about, you know, how it lived, you know, what it fought for. And was it protesting? Like, was it like a
Tiananmen
Square, you know, where it was like the tank was rolling in and it was protesting the how it was being treated at the coop?
Because it's true, it affects the taste, doesn't it?
Klux was a good chicken. But he was a drunk and he was a son of a bitch. He was angry, picked a fight, and he broke his beak.
Yeah. He had all kinds of kids that he wasn't paying any kind of alimony for. He wasn't gathering any worms for him. You know, he was a deadbeat chicken. Until he came across the Red Cross. He became a founding member of the Chicken Liberation Army.
He walked backwards into a knife.
So before the movement really got started, which was a real bummer for the movement itself. But now his breasts and thighs have been packaged for you. Like, that'll be on all the labels, like, you know.
A descriptive story.
Yeah. Know how it lived, and then you know what kind of story you're inheriting, see, into your own body.
Enjoy him with a nice tall glass of milk. I think he would have liked that.
Yeah, which chicken is the most milk ripe? You know, that's going to be another thing on the label.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Anthony Greeno, and special guest, Natalia Berlin, who chimed in at the end there.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you so much.
A French version of the title.
Today I'm French. Merry Christmas.
Hey. But you're learning English, so you just said that to be appeasing to the English speaking.
I want to please you.
Okay, excellent. Later. Oh, wait. Click through the Amazon link on the RSS feed. Buy something, and then it'll kick back a little money to the show. Check out Here Comes Godot in February, and check out Damien Shadows and
get
all that stuff.
Hat. Don't pretend like you won't wear a hat.
Get it. Check out Mercury performing in the Secret Long Island City. The Secret Theater. All right, see ya.